Tired of hunkering in the woods and knowing that life and fortune were on the line, Wong Fu Cao strode toward the deputy sheriff's car. He had spent the night in the forest beyond Georgetown's city limits, sleeping intermittently. After all the activity since his long flight from China to rendezvous with Anya Creed, he was bone weary. He wore jeans and a lightweight corduroy jacket, like a lot of other tourists around town. But he carried a pistol filled with tranquilizer flechettes wrapped inside a newspaper. The deputy noticed his approach at once and sat up straight, recognizing him. Huang Fu smiled innocuously, like he was happy to see a man in uniform.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It seems I have become lost.
Sure.
The deputy's right hand was out of sight, and Huang Fu knew that it would be on his service weapon. He hoped the weapon was at least holstered. That would delay his reaction. All three flechettes from the dart gun pierced the deputy's neck, jutting out from the flesh below his ear down to the hollow of his throat. The deputy tried to reach for his weapon, struggling against the effects of the drug already overtaking his system. He almost succeeded, but succumbed to the tranquilizer before he could act. Huang Fu leaned through the open window and trapped the deputy against the seat while shoving the man's gun arm down with his left. The man struggled weakly, but his efforts only forced the drugs through his system faster. Finally, he went limp. Reaching across him, Huang Fu picked up the cowboy hat on the passenger seat and placed it over the deputy's head. The man looked like he was asleep. Next, Huang Fu ripped the radio's wires loose, leaving them dangling beneath the dashboard. Satisfied that the deputy was out of play, Huang Fu turned away from him and strode toward the bed and breakfast. He gazed up at Anya Creed's room. He knew where it was. He'd made the reservations himself. This time, she would not escape. Tsai Chu Yu stood in the prow of the boat as Kelly approached. The old man was short and wizened, bent by the decades he had struggled through. He wore stained khaki pants and a threadbare, long-sleeved gray cotton shirt that he had rolled up to his elbows. The sluggish wind pulled at the smoke from the unfiltered cigarette between his lips. Tsai Chu Yu knew far more about espionage than he did about fishing. He had worked for the Americans, the Russians, and the British, but he favored the Americans because they paid him best. Tsai Chu Yu nodded, just once. It was enough to let Kelly know that it was safe for her. She didn't know what she would have done if it hadn't been. By the time she reached the end of the dock, two young men ran out a gangplank. Her hand was already inside her tote bag. Five young men occupied mats on the deck. One of the young men held out his hand for the tote.
Let me have that.
Kelly stopped on the gangplank just out of reach, but didn't move to follow his orders. The other young men stood. All of them were armed, but this didn't alarm Kelly. Tsai Chu Yu's life was constantly at risk.
You may not board. Move from the gangplank.
Step away, Lu. This is my niece you see before you. Treat her with respect.
The men stepped back, but remained wary. Despite Tsai Chu Yu's confidence, they were responsible for his safety. The old man smiled widely and gestured to the boat.
You are welcome here.
Kelly took her hand from the tote bag and stepped aboard. Tsai Chu Yu flipped the stub of his cigarette into the water.
We can talk in my quarters.
Tsai Chu Yu's quarters consisted of two small rooms. Kelly was familiar with them from her many visits over the years with her father. They sat on folded knees on the floor, a low table separating them. Before Kelly could speak, one of the young men brought in a teapot and two cups. He placed them on the table without a word.
Do you still drink tea, dear? You have been gone such a long time that I don't know.
I do. May I pour?
The old man nodded. Kelly served Tsai Chu Yu with both hands, turning the cup to present it properly to him. Sometimes, when the fast-paced world she lived in got to be too much, she retreated to the old ways. The old man took the cup from her hands with both of his.
You still remember how to present tea?
My father trained me well. I will never forget.
I was sorry to hear about your father.
Thank you.
Kelly's hands trembled slightly. He had been murdered only hours ago, and they were already talking about him as if he'd been gone for months or years.
Why did you come to me?
Because I want to kill the men responsible for my father's death. I think you know who they are.
Killing them will not be an easy thing.
But it is necessary.
Your father said you live a rather unconventional life these days.
I am a trained assassin.
I do not recall that ever being one of the occupations you wished to do when you were growing up.
When I finished my journalism degree at the University of Southern California, I was in Kosovo during a piece on the political unrest there. My news team was taken captive by one of the terrorist groups. A woman, a fellow intern on the news team, was executed right in front of our eyes. They told us they would do the same thing to the rest of us. Until I saw her killed, I believed the American military was going to save us.
They didn't.
No, I saved us. By the time they would have acted, it would have been too late. It was already too late. I killed one of the guards. I took his weapon and killed another man while I freed the prisoners.
That sounds very heroic.
You have killed people, Uncle. You know that killing someone is never heroic, only a necessity.
What about vengeance?
Sometimes, vengeance is a necessity.
Is it so easy for you?
Father didn't tell you everything, did he?
Only hints.
A few months after Kosovo, I was approached by a man who claimed to be with the Central Intelligence Agency.
Claimed?
I still can't be certain. The training I received was secret, and it was conducted by men who were once in the military and espionage trade.
You consider assassination a trade?
I'd prefer to call it an art.
So you became a good assassin?
I'm still alive.
In that line of work, it's just as important to escape unknown as it is to kill the target you have been assigned.
I know. I want to talk about the men who killed my father.
They are very dangerous men.
Who do they work for?
Guy Guanyin. Do you know of him?
Yes, of Guy Enterprises.
Yes.
Why would he order my father's death?
You didn't come here just to learn the names of your father's murderers, did you?
My father trusted you with everything he had. Those men at my father's house were searching for something.
He left something with me. I will get it.
Despite his age, Zhe Chuyu stood easily and walked to his private quarters. Kelly remained on her knees and stared after him. All she could think of was her father lying helplessly on his deathbed. At the thought, she feared she would be sick. Zhe Chuyu returned to the room carrying a burgundy cloth bag that Kelly could remember seeing at her father's house. The old man handed it to her. The weight was negligible, and pieces moved inside. Through the thick cloth, they felt like sticks, but they had odd shapes. Kelly considered the bag for a moment, then looked back up towards her uncle.
What is this?
One of your father's projects.
Do you know what it is?
It is a puzzle.
Kelly opened the bag and poured the contents onto the low table. Pieces spread out in a growing pool. At first, she thought they were sticks. Then she saw the porous and pitted surfaces and thought they might be soapstone used by the carvers to sell good luck charms to fishermen and tourists. She picked up one of the pieces, surprised by its lightness. The piece seemed fragile, but when she tested it between her fingers, she found it was rigid and strong.
Have you seen this before?
No. I recognized the bag, but I had never seen what was inside.
In all the years that I knew your father, this is the only thing he ever asked me to keep for him.
Did he tell you what they are?
Only that it was a very important secret that he wanted you to have.
Have you tried to find out what they are?
Of course I did. Your father asked only for my caretaking, not my disinterest. I did not find out the secret of those pieces, but I did learn that they were made of bone.
Bone?
Finger bones, to be exact. Human finger bones. They are hundreds of years old, perhaps thousands.
Kelly looked at the ivory-yellow pieces scattered across the table's surface. She couldn't believe that they were anything someone would kill her father to get, or that he would give his life to protect. It just didn't make any sense.
But There's more. Look inside.
Kelly opened the bag wider to see what she had missed. Curled into a tight scroll was a thin piece of yellowing paper.